The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and just make any prayer. His will is to answer you. Any prayer, any expectation, anything you think that needs intervention, His will is to hear you. His will is to come through. His will, according to His will, He heareth us. According to His will, He hears us. You've got to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now listen, in the name of Jesus, you're going to pray some more. But listen, one of the greatest things you need to do is that you must develop faith in your own prayers. Are you following me? I know the prayer of your pastor is powerful. But I know the prayer of the saints is powerful. But you must develop faith in your own prayers. You know, five years ago, when COVID-19 came, I made us pray and all of that. One of the things I told us, I said, do not let the devil make you feel like COVID is ravaging the whole world. There are billions of people praying. So how do you think your own personal prayer is going to change anything? Whether you pray or not, what will be with you? Now, that's a very terrible way to look at things. Now, why did COVID have the kind of impact it had in Nigeria? Not just prayers. I prayed. Now, I've learned to believe in my own prayers. Are you following me? Your prayers are powerful. Especially over your own life. And so when I say you should pray, don't wait for when pastor is going to declare. Really pray and believe your own prayers. As a matter of fact, pastor's declaration and most times pastoral intervention should come, of course, in certain cases when things are looking somehow. But on a very general basis, your prayers are powerful enough to get you through anything. I know what I'm talking about. There are special cases, but on a general basis, your prayer is powerful enough to get you through any situation. Your own prayer. It is powerful enough to get you through any mess. And so when you are asked to pray, you'll be doing yourself a disservice if you don't pray. And listen to me, sometimes even when pastor has to pray, or when people have to pray, their prayer will have to cooperate with your own prayer. In Romans 15 and verse 30, Paul was writing to the church and he was requesting, as it were, prayers from them. And he told them, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So the prayer was for him. And he was asking them to pray, but he said, strive together. In other words, Paul is saying, as you are praying, I am praying too. And so do not say things like, well, pastor is going to pray, or my mother is going to pray, or my friends are going to pray. Learn to pray. So that even when people begin to pray for you, your own prayer will have to, you know, their prayer will just meet with your prayer in agreement. So when you are asked to pray, don't watch. And don't just mutter words. Believe in your own prayers. And pray it knowing that it will be answered. Are you following me? I'm giving you 2 more minutes. Whatever requests you have, I just sense that as I came up to this stage, whatever request it is, the expression told us that God answers and will always say yes. So whatever request it is, take your time. Pray. 2 minutes. A minute. Thank you.
ask.
Some of you, the prayer you are praying is that you are interceding over someone. It's still okay. Pray. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you believe in your prayers? One of the things you should do is that every time you pray, believe that God heard you. Now, if He doesn't hear us, there's no point. We pray. If he doesn't hear us, prayer will be a waste of time. But our confidence, our joy is that whenever we pray, he hears us. And he just heard you. And he just answered. Are you following me? And that's the thing about it. That's how I actually see prayers. You know, I was listening to my father in law yesterday, and he made a very important statement. And, you know, I've been meditating over that for some time and hearing this from him. You know, the point is, many of us believe that our prayers have been answered when we see results. And so you pray for a healing and then eventually the pain in your body disappears. And you say, oh, glory to God, I've been answered. That's actually not correct. Your prayer did not get answered the day the pain disappeared. Do not wait for a physical evidence to verify your answers. What you verify your answers is that the word of God says so. The Bible said that when you pray, God hears you. So once you pray, whether anything has changed or not, God has heard you. That's the truth. And that's how I pray for the sick. When I lay hands, I tell you many times, I cannot lay hands on the sick and nothing will happen. It's not possible. I don't need an evidence. Why do you believe that? Is it because you are anointed? No, because the word of God said so. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The word of God never tells you, shall lay hands on the sick and they may or may. He said, they shall. And so when I lay hands on the sick, I know something has happened. When I pray for money, I'm not going to wait to see the money in my account before I know that God has answered my prayers. I don't really wait for that. You do not need a physical evidence. God's word should be enough. That the word of God said that when you pray, God hears you. I said, when you pray, whether you felt goosebumps or not, whether you felt good or not, just know that God has heard. Are you following me? You don't need a physical evidence. You know what the angel said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12? The angel said to Daniel, he said, from the first day, give me that verse. He said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Now, when was Daniel's prayer heard? From the first day. Eventually, Daniel prayed for 21 days because there are certain things that can hinder your answers from manifesting. There is nothing that can hinder your answers from coming from God. What I mean is, nothing can hinder God from answering you. Any hindrances in the realm of man, things can hinder your own answers from coming. Sometimes it could be your own disobedience. Are you following me? Yeah, because you could pray for something, and as I believe God for that, God gives some instructions, and you turn it down. So, your disobedience has hindered your answers from coming. Are you following me? Sometimes, in this case, it was the devil. He said, he told him, he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. So we see the devil. But the fact we are seeing from this verse is that from the first day Daniel prayed. The first day. Are you following me? And so you notice, how long did Daniel pray again? Talk back to me. How many times? 21 days. Which day was his prayer answered? Day 1. So what was he doing with the other 20 days? Now, the other 20 days, he was not trying to make God answer him. Persevering in prayer is not trying to get God to answer you. Because when you pray from the first day, he hears you. Come, are you following what I'm talking about at all? Persevering, okay, look at that. From the first day, your words were heard. From the first day. First day. And so when you pray, your prayer gets answered from day one. I get what I'm saying. Every other prayer you are praying, you are dealing in the, you are in the realm of man. These are, there could be things that want to hinder your answers. There could be the devil trying to fight. You know, there could be, you know, you trying to align yourself. Sometimes there could be instructions that you have to get yourself to obey. But the truth of the matter is that from the first day you prayed, God answered. First day. So when someone is sick and I lay hands on the person and I say, cancer be gone in Jesus' name. From that day, I could lay hands a few more times. But all of those things are now operating in the realm of man. Where her heart has to believe. The heart has to accept. And all of those things. But from God's own end, it gets sorted from day one. Are you following what I'm talking about? And so when you pray, you do not need to pray too much for God to hear. But we need to pray too much. But take note of what you are doing when you are praying for long. It's not for God to hear. God does not have hearing problem. Are you following me? So you don't pray for God to hear. So things could hinder your prayer. Your answers rather. Sometimes we are not even focused. And so let me say this to you. The devil's greatest hindrance to your increase and your miracle. I will talk about this on Sunday. Because on Sunday I will start talking about things that will catalyze increase. There are the devil's greatest hindrance to your answers is to stop you from praying. You know what I said? The devil's greatest job to stop you is to stop you from praying. Because once you pray, from the first day, God hears you. So by the time God hears you, all he will now be fighting will be in the realm of man, trying to stop, trying to, you know, scatter things and all of that. But from that first day you pray, God hears you. So what does the devil do? He tries to distract you. He tries to set things on your way to make sure you don't pray. Because from the first day you pray, he has lost. Every other thing will now be just fighting, trying to do this and do that. Are you following me? So when you pray, God has answered. And as you prayed a few minutes ago, God has answered. And your answers are here. And it will not be long, you'll have them in your hands. I say you will have them in your hands very soon. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ready for the word? We're getting blessed already, right? Let's have our seat for a few minutes. Few minutes, maybe. Hallelujah. Good evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we've been talking about the increase of God. I want to ask you, have you experienced this increase? Have you seen your life get better? Have you seen your prayer life get better? Have you seen your commitment to God get better? It's going to get better and better. Have you seen your finances get better? Glory to God. How many of us in this month have received a financial miracle? Let me see your hand this month. Now, you know the point, many hands on the air. Glory to God for that. But many of you have received miracles financially that you didn't even know. Some of you this month, you received some sort of supernatural idea. That was a financial miracle. You will not know until 3 months from now. That's even a bigger one. Some of you, there are relationships that God brought you into. And some that God cut you from. Do you understand? On Sunday, I'll talk about catalysts, all these increased catalysts, things that will just... But on Thursday, that's the last day of this teaching. That's next Thursday, right? I'm going to address some practical wisdom for increase. One of those things is what I'm talking about. Some of you, the answer to your prayer for increase this month is that God had to remove some people from your circle. And some of you, it will happen again. There are people that cannot tag along with you as you are increasing. Are you following me? Just like spiritual, let me say this to you. Something about growth is, Of course, I know there is something bad about, I'll talk about this next Thursday, but God just put it in my heart now. There's something bad about when you grow, you forget people that were there with you. I understand that part. But sometimes it's a necessary thing to happen. Sometimes there are people you have to naturally overgrow. If you don't overgrow them, you guys will be at the same level. I will explain this to you on Thursday. You know what I'm saying now? And that's why I'm going to encourage you. If your friends are growing, be growing. Be growing. Think of spirituality. You know, we all started as believers. And then I started pursuing my own life. I pray for 3 hours, 4 hours, doing evangelism. You're doing none of those things. Naturally, that relationship will begin to shake. It will begin to shake. And tomorrow you say, because he's not very anointed, we are no more talking. You want to be talking with him? You will drain him. So you are a necessary subtraction. Remember that prayer last 2 years? Meaningful additions, necessary subtractions. By just I'm going to show you that there are some subtractions that are additions. There are some people that God will remove from your life. Can I prove it to you with mathematics? 5 minus minus 4 is 9. So when something is already minus from your life, if they minus it from your life, it will add to you. I'm telling you. I'm serious. If something is already taken from you, it has to go. Now, 5 plus minus 4 is 1. Now, I'm very serious. If I just said that, you can remember it. There are some minor. If someone is carrying a minus sign and they add it to you, it will reduce you. So you have to locate some people in your life that are taking from you. Then you minus them from you. Then you become more. The Bible tells us when Lot was separated from Abraham, the Lord told Abraham, look round. Sorry for another day. There are people that have that when they add to you, even if you are struggling, you become better. And that's why there are people, there are marriages that will reduce people. And that's the truth. Because if someone is carrying that negative energy and joins to you, you become smaller. There are people that their spiritual life travels, immediately they get married. Because they got married to someone who was leaking their spiritual energy instead of pumping it. And so what happens is they go down. So what was meant to add to them has removed from them. That's why I always teach. Do not hope to enter marriage thinking you will change someone. That's why I don't believe that anybody is your better half. That statement is not correct and not scriptural. Because to say someone is your better half means you are half. And you are incomplete. You need no better half. It is 2 full human beings that will make a successful marriage. 2 plus 2, 4. Say amen. 5 plus 4, 9. 5 plus minus 3, 2. You see where there's a problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So some people don't understand how 5 plus minus 3 is 2. They don't understand how 5 minus minus 4 is 9. You see that mass you refuse to learn in school? It's haunting you now. Take your life seriously. And take mathematics seriously. I don't even know how I know that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, but today, I just told what's going to happen on Thursday. Today, we want to look at, you know, one of the major things that, because you notice we opened up a few weeks ago on limiting God. Remember that? Psalm 78 verse 40. That they limited the Holy One of Israel. And we're trying to show that man can be God's limitation in his life. A man can hinder what God wants to do in his own life. A man can be the reason why God will not bless him. Or, better put, why the blessing of God will not find him. and will not be actualized in his life. A man can be the reason. Just like men are the reasons why they are not saved. Any man that is not saved on earth today, there are two possible reasons why he's not born again. Number one, either there is a man or either men who are born again have not taken the gospel to them. Or they have received it but they refuse to respond. So at the end of the day, it is man limiting the salvation of men. Either the man who has refused to go or the man that has refused to believe what he has heard. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Which is why you have to realize that man has to learn to take responsibility. If we don't explain that man can be the limitation of God, we will always live in a season where we are blaming God for everything. Why has this not happened? Why has that not happened? I thought God is God. Why is that going wrong? You just keep blaming God and blaming God. But you have to see clearly. So most times, when things are not going as I expect them to go in my life, the first thing I begin to do is to investigate. That investigation is not to begin to look inside your heart. No, it's in prayer. I begin to pray. Prayer is a major way to investigate. You will pray to a point. Either God will give you further instructions or he will point out instructions that you are not obeying. I get to the point. And I tell you, at every time I sense in my spirit, for instance, that, okay, for instance, I will use church now. We're talking about growth. That we are not growing as we are supposed to. Sometimes the Lord, I just sense in my heart that we should have crossed this number of workers, or this number of disciples, or this number of committed hands. I begin to pray. In that prayer, either God is going to show me what we have to do that we've not been doing, or he will show me what we should have been doing that we stopped. So when I notice that things are not going well, I don't begin to blame God. God, where are you? Why are you in heaven at this time? I begin to investigate. That's what you do. Since you already know for a fact that God has a will for you, and whatever that is happening has to be me limiting him, so I begin to investigate in what way. Are you what I'm talking about? In what way am I the one stopping this from happening? What can I do differently? And if you are done investigating and the Lord says to you that everything is perfect, as what you are doing wrongly, just relax. Are you following me? Yeah. Just relax and keep walking in obedience. Things will open up. I get to the point. Hey, don't sweat it. Just relax. I'm just walking in obedience. So man is the limitation of God. And I've shown you a few ways by which man does that. You know, you can do that. Maybe your mind. Sometimes I was talking about when we forget, when we are forgetful. And today I'm going to begin to address a very serious issue that the Lord pointed out to me. And that's the issue of fear. Fear is one major way we limit God, and fear is one major way we refuse increase in our life. If you do not deal with the issue of fear, you might not see the increase that God is bringing your way. To start with, no believer has fear. I'll just start with that. No believer has fear. And I'll tell you why no believer has fear. One, because fear is of the flesh. And the believer is not in the flesh. The believer is in the spirit. Secondly, because fear is a spirit. A demonic spirit. And believers are not possessed by demonic spirits. They are possessed by the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 is very clear on this fact. It says, for God had not given us the spirit of fear. So first thing he points out is that fear is a spirit. The spirit of fear. So there is a spirit called fear. So fears are not actually ordinary. And I'm not talking about the fact that you saw somebody down there and the person, you know, what do I say now? How do I put that in English? It's in my head in Igbo. Startles you. Verse magic. Verse startles you. And then you are scared. That's what I'm talking about. That's some fears I'm going to address today. Right? Now, when you find out fear, fear is, look at that. God has talked about the spirit of fear. It is a spirit. It's a spirit. You read the Bible, talk about the spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith. Now the Bible is talking about the spirit of fear. So that is the spirit of faith. That is the spirit of fear. Next thing the Bible is showing us that spirit does not come from God. Look at that. God has not given us. So God doesn't give that spirit of fear. Right? Now, next thing that the Bible is showing us that it is not in us. Because whatever God has not given the believer, he doesn't have. So no believer actually has fear. Now, I'm not saying no believer can be fearful. A believer can be fearful, but the believer does not have fear living in him. Because the spirit indwelling the believer is the spirit of God. And fear is not of God. Fear is of the flesh. And I'm saying this so that every time you notice that unnecessary fear in your heart, be rest assured that it is not God. In fact, let me give you a very small counsel. Not too small, because it will help you. People ask me questions like, how do I know that? If you have an encounter. How do I know that this encounter I had in my room and the spirit walked in and God was, how do I know it is God or the devil? One major litmus test you can use is fear. God does not come with fear. Did you read that Daniel chapter 10 verse 12? The Bible said immediately the angel came. The first thing the angel said is, fear not. If you check throughout your Bible, every time anyone has an encounter with an angel, the angel will first say, fear not. Because that is a trademark. God doesn't work with fear. He doesn't. It is a devil that brings fear. And that's why I can tell you sometimes, when you are in a place and you notice there is an unnecessary, unusual fear that is just creeping up in this environment, you try to ignore it, but it's there for no reason. Most times there are demonic presences there. You have to rise against it and not run away. Not run away. Rise against it. Are you following me? Because when God's presence comes, you will feel that peace. I've had encounters with God. Not many, right? Not many, but I've had a few visions, right? But then, one thing that characterizes those things is the peace, the comfort, the assurance, the hope, the joy in that atmosphere. You can't cut it. You can't deny it. But when there's a demonic presence, Satan walks with fear. He walks with fear. Fear is never of God. And this is what measures why many of you have not moved from where you are meant to be to where you are meant to be. And you know, fear is of the devil. And I've told you many times, fear is Satan's forerunner. Every time the devil wants to run riot in anywhere and any area of your life, the first thing he sends ahead of him is fear. So he sends that fear. So fear is a crippling spirit that tries to cripple you from getting to where God wants you to get to. The popular scripture obviously is Job 3 verse 25, where Job said, what I feared the most, the thing which I greatly feared, is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. And so I've shown you, how did the devil know what exactly to afflict when he got opportunity to assess Job? He knew what Job was afraid of. So all those things Job was afraid of, they were in the devil's agenda. But what did he send ahead? He sent fear ahead. Are you following me? So somebody is afraid of failing because the devil wants him to fail. So he will first send that fear and it changes it, it shakes you up. And look at Job chapter 1. Job even began to take action in response to fear. The Bible said Job every day will get up and he will offer sacrifices. And in offering the sacrifices, you would have thought, oh well, maybe he's praying. Yes, he was praying to God, but he always makes a statement. Job chapter 1, let me show you. Job chapter 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Job is before the book of Psalm. Amen. Verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting we are gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Bible says Job did this continually. Every day you say, ah, let me offer sacrifice. Who knows if they've cursed God in their hearts? Who, I know what I'm talking about. There was always that tiny fear in his heart. So when it was a time for the devil to strike, he went for his kids. Now, I'm saying this to you so that you do not let the devil into your space. So that when you notice that, what Job should have done should not have been to just offer sacrifice for his kids. It should have been to deal with that spirit of fear rising in his heart. What if you start this business and everything scatters? What if you just buy these goods and it doesn't sell? The devil comes to you by suggestions. And then you begin to nurse that fear. Then you begin to say, in the name of Jesus, ah, my goods will sell. Oh, my good. Who actually said your goods will not sell? Why is that a prayer point? The devil is throwing thoughts at you and you are taking the thoughts. Are you following me? What if you wake up one day and everything you are doing just scatters and you go back to square one? That's not the time to say, in Jesus' name, I will never go for bid. I'm not going back to square one. Listen, let me tell you. One of the things I tell people when I teach faith confession is this. Do not always confess faith from the point of negativity. Look at what I'm saying. If I am sick, or if the devil thinks you will be, I don't say I'm not sick. I rather say I'm healed. The hand of God is upon my life. I'm walking in health. I speak in the positive. I get to the point. When you hardly hear me say this, like, I'm not broke in Jesus' name. Mm-mm. I'd rather say I'm rich. I'm prosperous. God is making me better. I'm getting bigger. But it's when you are responding to fear. What you are doing is that you are trying to say that, what if you just wake up tomorrow and your husband dies? Say, in Jesus' name, husband will not die. It is your own husband that will die. Who are you talking to? Are you following me? He's suggesting things to you. That's the time to shut down that voice. But if you accept that fear, it begins to grow. And you know how it is? It begins to get stronger in your heart. It begins to get stronger. The voice begins to get more intense. More intense. And then fear holds you down. Do you know there are many people that should have crossed where they are now if they had dealt with that spirit called fear? Let me give you some things, you know, as the Lord gave them to me. There are a few things that people are afraid of. And if they don't deal with these fears in their life, they're not going to have the increase they need. For instance, one of them is fear of taking risks. Fear of taking risks. And it's crazy because life, you cannot become all that God wants you to be unless you take certain risks. Are you following me? Are you following me? The only risk, I don't even like calling it risk, the only risk you should not take is if you have not confirmed from the Lord whether you should take this step. Once you've confirmed from the Lord, it is a risk worth taking. Take it. There's always this fear of what if you do this and this, what if this and this, you know? Life in itself is a risk. You succeed by taking major risks. God puts it in your heart to start that business. He said, if I take all this, my money, and just start this business now, what if it now fails? Now, that is the reason why you will never start the business. That's the reason that there will never be a next level. When the Lord told me it was time to start the work, the start church, I did not have any money. The wise thing to do, which I was actually going to do, would have been to slow down and walk and get money and all of that. But the Lord came to me by definite instructions. And when I ignored instruction, he came to me by visions. All he was saying is, it was time. And it was a big risk. Young guy finishing school. Had no hope of anything. Instead of you to go and hustle and look for money, you are doing church. But it's a risk you must take because God has okayed it. You know, there were four lepers. There were four lepers. You know that story? 2 Kings chapter 7. The Syrians were fighting Israel. They had shut down Israel. There was hunger in the land. And these four lepers, they were outside the camp. And they told themselves in verse 3. They told themselves, why sit we here until we die? That's a good way to think. They said to themselves, if we sit down here outside this city, hunger will kill us. Because to start with, there is no food in the city. Lepers always stay outside the city, right? It is when food has reached people who are inside the city, before they can remember that it's outside the city. They said, if we sit here, we are going to die. It was so bad in 2 Kings that people, give me verse 1. 2 Kings 7 verse 1. So you understand the level of the hunger. Before chapter 6, towards the end of chapter 6, people were killing themselves to eat. Say amen. Glory to God. Let me get that by myself. 2 Kings chapter 6. Glory to God. Let's start from 24 because so that we can just enjoy the story. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all these hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver. 4 score is 80 pieces of silver. You know silver? You know how valuable silver is? Eh? Okay. Give me like another translation like Message Bible so that you can see. 80 shekels. Give me like NLT. I'm looking for the one that used 80 pieces of silver. Oh, well. But of course, we know what it is, right? It was 80 pieces. 80 pieces of silver was sold for. So if you want to buy one donkey head, you know what donkey is? You know donkey? That's the cheapest meat you can ever eat. And what the boy? Very cheap. You know it? That's the cheapest meat you can ever buy. But to buy the head was 4 pieces of silver. And look at that. The fourth part of a camp of dove's dung. You know what dung is? Give me like NLT. Because, you know, this one is trying to be... It's a cup of dove's dung. That is dove, like bird. The dung. You know the dung? The shit. A cup of it was sold for 5 pieces of silver. Now that's the rate of famine and inflation. May we not get here as a country. That's the height of it. So you get 5 pieces of silver, you want to buy manure, like just a cup of the 5 pieces of silver. It was that bad. Praise the Lord. Well, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, where shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? How can I help you? And the king said unto her, what ailed thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. I will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son. We boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. You know, for me, even after this farmer, we must eat that son. You know, this kind of things always don't want to be the first, be the second. Say, let's eat your own first. But it was that. Do you know what it means for a mother to eat her child? Since you are that terrible in Israel, things were that bad. So this was, I just wanted to give you a background of the story. So of course, by the time the king heard it, the king tore his clothes. You know, verse 31, he said, God so do and more also to me. If the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. He said he will kill Elisha. I don't know what Elisha did in this case. Hallelujah. There's a lot of blessings here, actually. The king understood that at this point, only the voice of a prophet can change the situation. So he's, I will kill this man. And verse 32. But Elisha started his task, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man before him. And as the king messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Say, shut the door. I know the king is coming behind him. So it's the prophetic in full display. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down to him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Hallelujah. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. I read this story this way, so you see where I'm going to. So Elisha prophesied that by tomorrow, things will be so cheap that you begin to buy things at giveaway prices. Hallelujah. So you're able to buy a measure of fine flour, not even for up to 1 silver, just for a shekel. Right? And of course, in verse 2, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, he said it's not possible. They were seeing how things were. And Elisha said, you shall see, you shall not eat of it. So, background of the story is to show you, prophecy had gone forth that by tomorrow things will be better. But that prophecy was waiting for a certain action to be taken. That's why I tell you, if you are not ready to take certain risks, God can say things, and your refusal to take certain risks will be the reason to not come to pass. So these lepers sat at the gate, and they said, if we sit here at the gate, we shall die. If we enter to the Syrian camp, we shall still die. If we get there, they will kill us. Because what happened was the Syrians had held Israel hostage. So if we sit at the gate, we will die. If we enter their camp, we will die. So at the end of the day, either ways, we are going to die. So if we sit here, definitely we will die. If we enter the camp, there are 2 options. Either the Syrians will pity us and give us food, or they will kill us. So whichever one that happens, it's a risk. And sometimes all the Lord wants you to do is to take the risk. So if the risk you took was carrying your bag and moving down to Enugu when it was just in your heart and you had no plan, are you what I'm talking about? And if you did not take that risk, there are 2 options. If you stayed back where you were, you will still be broke. If you move to the town God has asked you to go to, you may or may not be broke. So why not take the risk? Bible said immediately they stepped out and began to march. Now, you know, I love this story so much. I mean, it shows you how much you can do if you can shut down that fear in your heart. Now, you know lepers. Lepers have sores on their leg, on their feet. They have sores. They rarely match their feet on the ground. But the Bible said, as the 4 lepers began to march to the Syrian camp, the Lord caused the Syrian soldiers to hear a mighty chariot coming. So they said to themselves that the king of Israel had gone round to hire neighboring cities to come and fight them. So they ran away. By the time they entered that camp, here was food and there were no soldiers. Are you following me? So they began to eat. You know, that's what is funny. It's when they are eating to a point, they now said, ah, let's go and tell others. And of course, Elisha's prophecy came to pass. Because by the time they went into the city to announce that the Syrians have run away and there is free food in their camp, people began to run to the camp to go and take the food. And as they were packing the food, that Lord that doubted Elisha was trying to control the crowd. They stampeded him. He died. Yeah. Glory to God. But then all that would not have happened if they were scared of taking that risk. The answer to your next level might be shutting down that fear in your heart and doing that which God has put your heart to do. The only risk not worth taking is to do something God has not asked you to do. But if you've prayed, you've sought God's face, you have peace in your spirit, take the risk. Take it. Fear of taking risks is one reason why people remain at there, and they will remain there forever. If the lepers are still outside the gate, what would have been their end? They will die. Simple. They will die. You must learn to take certain risks. You know, there are people that would have stopped living the kind of terrible lives they are living. People that are stealing, they would have stopped stealing. Ladies that might be doing hookup, they would have stopped it. You know why they're still doing it? They are afraid. If I obey God and stop this, how will I now be eating? I'll go back to square one and my life will just start afresh. Hunger will just kill me. Sir, take the risk. Take it. When you are acting on the word of God, every risk is worth taking. Every risk is worth taking. Every risk is worth taking. Are you following me, friends? There are men who should have been married by now. But you know why they're not married? Yes, I have 2 million in my account. But if I just got married, how this job I'm doing, what if they sack me from the job? What is the problem? If you are acting, let me tell you, I've always believed in, if God doesn't say wait, there is no need waiting. The only delay that is legal is that God said you should wait. Right? There was Red Sea before the Israelites. And they were crying. And the Lord said, tell them to go forward. Now, if God says go forward, and there is Red Sea before you, just go forward. It's a risk worth taking. Is someone following me this evening? When they wanted to cross Jordan, there was Jordan before them. The Lord said, tell them to go forward. Just tell, if Jordan, the crossing Jordan was strategic. Because God told the priest carrying the ark, he said, tell them, you know, Red Sea, Moses had to strike Red Sea and he divided. When he got to Jordan, there was no striking. God told them, just enter the river. As you keep advancing the river, it will be divided. So you have to risk it. But if you are acting on the word of God, it's a risk worth taking. Every risk is worth taking. It's worth taking. Are you following me, friends? I've had an instruction from the Lord. I was trying to acquire a property some years ago. And as I was trying to do that, the Lord said, give the money. That's a very stupid and senseless and unthinkable thing to do. But it's a risk you can take. You can bank on God's word, it will not fail. So I don't know why a believer should be scared of taking risks. Whenever there is a risk for you to take, all you have to do, what did David do? When they came and captured the children, he just asked, should I pursue? Shall I overtake? Will I recover? If then he got an answer, he went. Except the Lord says not to go. Are you following me, friends? If I go and ride this jam now and get admission, how will I go through school? Who will pay my school fees? What is God saying? If he says go, take the risk. You can put all your eggs in one basket once it is God speaking. You can put everything in one basket. You can take the risk once it is God speaking. So a lot of people are afraid of taking risks, afraid of taking actions, making moves, because they're thinking of how will I come back? I've done some little things in my life that were totally crazy. Some of you know the story of how I traveled to Lagos some years ago, right? And I needed money. And I didn't have money for that trip. But I wanted to go because it was a program. So I went to the meeting. I've told this story to you over and over again until you get used to hearing it. Until you get tired. So I went to the meeting.
And throughout the meeting, I was confessing in the name of Jesus. Supply is here. I will not be stranded in Lagos. At least not in Lagos. So I kept declaring, supply is here, supply is here. Until the last day of the program. The program ended on a Saturday. The next day was Sunday. I had to be back with you guys for service on Sunday. And here was I in Lagos. Program ended in the morning so that people that could travel could go home. Money struck after. And I was saying, my supply is here, my supply is here. And there was no money. Program ended. I went to my pastor and I didn't beg him. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know this story. You know, I've learned that when you are dealing with a prophet, the last thing you want from him is money. Are you following me? That's the last thing. Now, if he gives out of his own benevolence, consider that money as a good seed that will propagate other things in your life. Story of another day. So I didn't mention it to him. So I remember that day as it was Academy Inn before they moved it, before they had their own building, Academy Inn in Lagos, Ikeja, Lagos. I just finished and I just walked to the place where I went to the restroom and I finished carrying my bag, thinking of what is next for me on this journey. No transport fare to come back. I have to be in service the next day. And even if I say I'm not going to be in service the next day, where am I going to stay this night? And as I kept walking, somebody just saw me. What I'm telling you is one of the most supernatural events I've ever had in the area of giving. Saw me. Say, good evening, Pastor. I said, good afternoon, Pastor. Good afternoon. I said, you don't know me. I said, I don't know you. Say, many years ago, Nsukka High School, you were in my secondary school to preach. I said, You know, I went to my secondary school. I said, yes, you blessed my life. And I've been looking for a way to meet you. And that particular meeting, for some reason, I publicized that meeting on Facebook before I went. I was like, I'm going for this meeting. I think I even did a video for the meeting. He said, when I saw that video that you did, that you were coming for this program, I said, I must be here. Let me meet you and thank you personally. You changed my life. I said, oh, thank God. Hallelujah. He said, sir, please do me the honors. I want to pay for your flight. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know, when you're a man of God, you don't have to act like, I just said, okay. Well, in my heart, I was running. I was dancing. And he said, do you want transfer or do you want cash? I don't have cash. I said, hey. Man of God. For God is really faithful. Now, if I had, before I went for that meeting, I knew I should be there. Now, if I didn't want to go and I say, you know, I don't have money, I tried my best to get money, people will understand. But it was something God wanted me to do. So I went. It was a risk worth taking and it didn't fail. Are you following me? When God has put it in your heart, you've checked your spirit and your spirit is saying, okay, take the risk. Take it. Are you following me? Take the risk. There are a few things you are going to do when we start building I've told the workers, the ministers already. Because sometimes, you know, you have to come to a point where if God says go, you don't question him. The question should be how far? You know, he is Lord. And the only answer you give to Lord is yes, sir. Are you following me, friends? You don't argue with Lord. You don't debate with Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You don't debate with him. You don't question him. When he speaks, you just obey. It's a risk worth taking. So people are afraid of taking this. Some others have not taken the required step because they are afraid of failure. Of failing. Fear of failing. Fear of failure. And I'm not going to say much about that. What if this doesn't work? What if that one scatters? What if this will happen? You're afraid that you may fail. You know the biggest failure you can ever have is not starting at all. The person that failed is even better than you in that he started and failed. But he didn't start. And some have even started what God wants them to do, but they're still nursing that fear of failure. Don't nurse that fear. Don't know that fear. What if everything just crashes? What if you don't just, what if everything just scatters? What if you have this exam and you come out the worst student? What if this is your final year and this is your last exam? You just write and fail 3 courses and have extra year. The devil works by suggestions. I get the point. That's why the Bible said, take no thought for yourself. So in other words, you are the one that will take the thoughts. Fear of failure cripples you from even starting. From ever starting. God is saying you should start a cell. Start a cell. What if I start and nobody comes? What if everything scatters? Are you following me, friends? Deal with that bad spirit. I'm telling you, fear is a spirit. It's beyond what you feel. It's beyond the feeling. It's a spirit. I get to the point. And the more you aid it, the more you aid that spirit, the stronger the voice will get in your heart. You are not going to fail. I'm just telling you. You are not going to fail. You have God. I was mentioning that recently. Greater is He that is in me. The breed I am made of, we don't fail. The lineage I'm coming from, we've never failed. I know it. I wish you can know this. What was used to form me, there is no failure in it. And as I said to people, if I ever get try it, I'm going to succeed. The only reason why I will not try it is that God said I should not. That's why I'm going to say this. You know, you see, notice as I'm teaching on fear and faith, I'm chipping in divine leading. It's deliberate. Because when I mean do not be afraid of taking major steps, right? I'm not saying just take any step you want to take. That is a place for divine leading. That's the difference between what I'm teaching and what the word, what motivational speakers teaches. A motivational speaker will tell you, just tell yourself you can do it, and you do it. That's not what we do it here. We ask the Lord. I feel what I'm saying now. And when He says go, you go. And don't be afraid of failure. In fact, because you ask the Lord, that alone should deal with that fear of failure. Because the Lord said go. And even while you are doing it and things are not working well, always remember that the Lord said go. That will deal with that fear in your heart. That's why when some of you come to me or write me and say that I want to do this and do that, I always don't respond immediately. I always delay you. The reason is I want you to, anytime you see me delaying you, so I want to take this step and I begin to delay, just know what I want you to do. I'm just giving you a way to interpret that silence. I want you to keep praying about it. I want you to come to a point where you are so certain that this is God. I want you to come to a point where you, even if that thing fails, you can still tell yourself, well, it failed, but I shall know God spoke to me. I know what I'm talking about. When I wanted to start church, I was so sure. I waited till I was so sure. So that even the days we came to church and nobody came, I never asked myself, am I sure God sent me? Never. I was sure God sent me. Are you following me? And that's why I take my steps. That's why I say, pray. Before I got married, I waited. And waited. I wanted to be sure. That's why when I got married, I was so good. Whatever came, no matter how the marriage would have turned out, anyway, it would have turned out any other way. But no matter how it turned out, I was so sure. And that's the point. Come to a point of that assurance, it will deal with that fear. So what's when you want to take step? I normally say, just wait, pray, pray, pray. Once you confirm, don't be afraid of failing. You can't fail. Because and the kubarate lava. I'm going to teach you a very big secret. But let me tell you why you cannot fail. I always teach you. That's what I'm talking about, divine leading. Chipping it in gradually. Do not start something and ask God to come and bless it. Find what God is doing and join yourself to it. The blessing is already on it. Look at what I'm saying. Instead of start selling shoes and then ask God, Father, come and bless my shoe business. Find out if God says you start selling shoes, His blessing is already on it because He wants you to do it. God's blessing is upon anything He wants to do. So it's the easiest way. Instead of starting your marriage and saying, Father, come and bless my marriage, find the man that God wants you to marry. He's already blessed. What I'm saying is, do not have a plan and ask God to bless it. Find God's plan. God's plan is blessed already. God's plan is best for you. God's plan is already blessed. So if God wants me to go to Kuwait today, that journey is blessed because I'm going in the name of the Lord. Yes. That alone is the confidence. So if I get on the way and they say, "Ah, we're going to kill you," the first confidence that I'm going to come out from the problem is because God said I should go. Don't be afraid of failing. The only time you should be afraid of failing is if you are not sure God sent you. And if you are not sure, calm down and be sure. When you are sure, and the bakamba likorate, listen. And if you start anything and find out at any time that God did not send you, don't be afraid to stop. Don't be ashamed to stop. Don't be ashamed to stop. Even if you are doing relationship and you didn't pray very well concerning it, but then you just started doing. And so along the line, you find out that God never sanctioned this. Do not be ashamed to stop. People will talk and shut up at the end of the day. But if you enter that wrong marriage, they will talk and keep talking. I feel what I'm saying now. Don't be afraid. We should make moves with the Spirit. And when we miss it, if you find that you miss it, stop. But when you are in terms, if you are keeping steps with the Lord, at the end of the day, you are going to succeed. I don't know why God will send you on a mission and you are afraid. Even the Bible have a saying that now, Onye, how do they say that thing? Person when Papa sent, he uses his feet to break the door because his father sent him. That's how we enter places. So this fear of failure, the devil sending it to your heart. Next time he wants to rise your heart, remember God sent me. That's why we can never overemphasize the place of divine leading. Never. We can never overemphasize the place of divine leading. And so fear of failure. Other people do not take major steps in their life. And this one is very serious. I'm talking about divine leading. I want to chip it in. Because they're afraid of missing God. I want to deal with that matter. Like this fear of missing God. How am I sure this is the will of God? There are people that have been at a spot and they keep saying, why are you not moving? I want to be sure it's the will of God. Five men are asking you out. You've not started any of them. Say why? Say, I want to be sure it's the will of God. What's your problem? That fear of missing God is the first major step to missing God. That fear of missing God, that's how you start missing God. Say, am I sure? What if I'm not in the will of God? What if I want to help you out of that fear? Let me tell you a very simple thing I'd like you to know. If you want to know God's will, He will get through to you. No father keeps secret from his children that will benefit them, even when they're asking him. So why won't God tell you? The major problem sometimes is that, for instance, we have not even learned how to hear from God, how to follow divine leading. So you learn it. And when you learn it and you pray and you are convinced, trust what you know. I tell you what I found out. Half of the time, when people are asking me, "Sir, I want to go on the matter," they already know that will. It's just that and look at how to help them. "Sir, I don't know whether God wants me to travel or not." Sometimes they already have the answer. Most times the answer is that in their fighting. So you know what I do to them and what will help you? I sentence them on very long prayers. A dear sister was in my office this week and someone was coming to get married to her. They have already gone far in the planning. But she kept saying, "I'm just so afraid. I just feel like I'm doing something wrong. I just feel like..." I was looking at her. "Sister, I want to know if it's the will of God." I said, "Sister, you are just so afraid. You are just so afraid. You just feel like doing something wrong." I said, "You feel like you're washing your feet with your socks on." "I just feel like this is off. And I love him. We are even making plans. But I just feel..." In fact, she was even crying. You know the truth? She already knew the answer. So what do you do in such cases? I just tell them, "You are going to pray every day for 1 hour for like 3 months. Before you are done, your head will be clear. Instead of sitting around being afraid of missing God, throw yourself into prayer. When you are done praying for long, trust what you know. I'm not saying pray for 30 minutes and say, I got it. Mm-mm. So after that, he said, Elder, thank God, Sabbath asked me to pray. You know, after praying for these 30 minutes, I just found peace. Mm-mm. That's how it was. You know, the Bible talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's Ephesians. So the first Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Right? That peace of God that passes all understanding. He says, shall fill your heart and mind. Keep giving you on the screen. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning your verse 19. He says, quench not the spirit, verse 20. The spirit of prophesying, verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is true. Abstain from appearance of evil. And the very God of peace shall sanctify thee. Nah, that's the verse I'm looking for. Still this place. Because before you talked about the peace of God taking over your being. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because before he said that, he already showed us that we must pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing in verse 17. Philippians, yes, okay, well, let's look at this verse. Philippians 4, verse 6. Give me verse 6. Verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests. Then verse 7. And the peace of God with passeth. So when can you really say that you felt the peace of God? When you've prayed. Look at verse 6. When you've prayed with all prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's why you cannot get verse 7 and say, I felt peace. It's not why you mutter 15 minutes after praying, I just felt peace. Mm-mm. You might be feeling pieces. Not for real, you might be pieces because you know, especially issues that have to do with emotions. Your emotions already have a standpoint on the matter. They're already in love. You're already in love. You get what I'm saying? Or issues that have to do with what you want. 4 jobs are coming for you. 4 jobs. All of them are paying well. But one is paying higher than the other. And pastor says, pray. He says, Shambro. Yambro. So I got it. Each one. That one has paid 1.8. It's not even because of the money. It's just like, I heard the name of the company. He resonated. You better go and pray. That's not the time. Spend your time praying. Instead of spending your time being afraid that you might have missed God or that you might miss Him, pray. If you have a short time to make a decision, I tell you what to do. Get on a protracted kind of prayer. Keep like 2-3 days. Pray. Take 3-4 hours. Pray it out. Do it the next day. Do it the next week. You didn't know what to do. God does not call us to keep us in confusion. Yeah. You don't want to be confused. All this, I'm scared. Whether I'm in the will of God or not. Stop that fear. Stop that fear. Are you following me? Stop that fear. If that fear is rising in your heart, pray it out. And when you are done praying and you are sure this is the will of God and that fear is still rising, rebuke the devil. Simple as that. Just make sure you're not rebuking God. But sometimes it is God trying to point you that you are missing Him. I say, I rebuke you, foul devil, in the name of Jesus. You know, as Jovida Osa used to tell a story in the elders of the ministry when things were really very bad. So, but then they were already sharing correspondence with Dr. T.L. Osborne. And so one of those days, they went to the U.S. and Dr. T.L. Osborne took them to about 3 or 4 beautiful houses and said, just pick one. Say he went to the first one and he said, this is it. Went to the second one. By the time he got to the last one, big house with swimming pool, everything fully set up. He said, Lord, this is it. So he stayed back. He stayed there. He said, that very night, he was in his own room with the wife. Dr. T.L. were still in the house with them. They were in another room. Big house. He said around 3:00 in the morning, the Lord woke him up. Now, in his own words, he said, the Lord said to him, if you don't leave this place, I will kill you. And he woke the wife up and said, ah, the Lord said, if I don't leave here now, he will kill me. And the wife said, let me not say what I want to say. Imagine, say, ah, please, maybe it's the devil talking to you. He said, it's the Lord, I know it's the Lord. The thing was so heavy on him. He ran to Dr. T.L.'s room and knocked. By that time in the morning, he said, what's happening? He said, I need to leave now. God said, if I don't leave, he will kill me. And Dr. T.L. was like, I think it's the excitement. Maybe you're just too excited. He said, it's not excitement. I know what I heard. If I don't leave here, I will die. Dr. T.L. said, fine. If you're convinced you need to go, you go. You know, when you really want to please God, he will get through to you. He said he was so scared that when he got to the airport, he left around at 4 in the morning. So when he got to the airport, he called them. He thought they would all be dead. With how scared he was, that he thought God would kill all of them. And then he went there. The wife later came back. And they continued their work in Nigeria. At the time he was writing, he told us, he said, that house is not even up to one of their smallest guest houses in Nigeria after a few years. Now, I'm saying this, don't be afraid of missing God. If he wants to get through to you, he will tell you. Most times, all this fear of missing God is because we are trying to fight what he has said. Sometimes we know the truth. So stop fighting it. Just pray. And when you are done praying, I've told you many times, trust what you know in prayer. Whatever you get when you pray, trust it. It may not make sense, but it will be right. Don't be afraid of missing God. Another fear that cripples. So before I move on, many people are afraid of missing God. That's why they've not made the necessary moves they have to make. God, you want to start a business, but for like 2 years, you've been sitting there and saying, why have you not started? He said, I'm waiting upon the Lord. Let me tell you, sister or brother, you are not waiting upon the Lord. You're just afraid. Amen. A guy is asking you out. He said, I'm praying and waiting upon the Lord. 1 month, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months. Number one, you either are not interested in that guy. And so just simply tell him. Or you're just afraid of marriage. Because I don't know why God will wait for 8 months to tell you what he wants to tell you. Even when we say people should pray for 3 months, I keep telling them, it is not to actually know what God is saying. That is just to build conviction, that's all. Because sometimes from the first 2-3 weeks, 1 month into the prayer, you already have your answer. That's what I'm talking about. But then you complete just to be able to strengthen that conviction. That's nothing else. So all this one of, I'm praying 3 months, 8 months, 2 years, and you brought yourself, you're waiting. Newsflash is, they are planning their wedding, you know. And it's with somebody you know in this church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody you know. Don't come and cry in the office, so don't come and say, but she told me she was praying. I believe that, like, all this is just fear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to say to you, sister, brother, if you ask someone out for marriage, you've prayed, you are convinced, and you talk to this person, and the person says no, or begins to say he's praying or she's praying for past 4 months, you already know me. I'm not going to ask him to pray for more than 3 months. So she's no more praying. I'm just going to give a very small hack. She's dumb. She's there. In fact, she did not even pray at all. She just did not know how to tell you no. Not how to hurt your emotions. Let me help her. Hurt your emotions for you. Glory to God. Don't be afraid of missing God. Yes, and this is very serious because there's some brothers that are stuck with a certain lady because they feel, I've prayed and this is the will of God. If this girl eventually says no, who am I? Am I shall get another person? Stop that rubbish. There is no particular will of God for you. The will of God plenty. You're not aware?
Let nobody tell you if you leave me, how will you find the next person? You'll be shocked. Will of God. Go and buy my book. How to find the will of God for your life. For real. Will of God plenty. You are with someone and everything is pointing to the fact that you guys cannot marry. The genotype is saying no. And you say no, I pray that I have the will of God. That genotype is the first pointer.
That is not the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
All this fear of if I lose this one, I'm not sure the next person will come. It's not of God. With God, the second is always better than the first. I believe this with my life. With God, the second is always better. And that's why I tell the devil, you dare not stop what God is doing in my life now. Because if you tamper with it, the next time I'm coming stronger. I'm coming better. You know why? The next time I'm coming, I'm not starting from square one or square zero. I'm starting from experience.
Do you get what I'm talking about now?
And that is true. Starting from experience. You started a business, after 3 years, everything just scatters. When you want to start again, you're not starting from square one. You are starting from experience. You know what not to do for the business to scatter. So the devil should know that if you shut this door, by the time the next door is about to open, I'm not starting from square one. I'm not the one that used to be there. I'm coming better. That's why if your ministry crashes and you want to start it again, you're not starting from square one. You know what to do. That's why, let me give you an example. Have you observed, if someone serves in a ministry for 30 years or 40 years, a good ministry, and now wants to start his own ministry, it always grows very fast. Do you know why? He's not starting from square one, or even from 10. He's starting from the wealth of his experience. I'm going to say to you, don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of missing God. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Another thing that you must deal with is fear of man. Fear of man. Some people have not done what they are meant to do because they are afraid of men. They are afraid of what people will say about them. How people will insult them. How people will criticize them. Proverbs 29 verse 25. Give me that verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? The fear of man bringeth a snare. A snare. Give me another translation. The fear of man bringeth a snare. NLT. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Many people are not moving forward because they are thinking of what people will say. They will insult me. How will they perceive me? How will they understand me? Listen to me. If you know what God has asked you to do, on the others, you are the one holding yourself because you are afraid of what people will say. What you do not realize is that people will always be talking. Do you understand? There was a time something was going on around my life and people were saying a lot of things. And I just went to my pastor that day, remember, to talk to him. I wanted to pour my heart to him. And I started talking, he said, people are talking. He said, that's what they do, they talk. And that conversation lasted for 10 seconds. I said, so you know that over this matter, people are just saying, he said, people are talking, he said, that's what they do, they talk. And that was it. I feel what I'm talking about. People talk. That's why they're not dumb. And if you pay attention to that, and that's why you're not making the moves you're meant to make, you're just fooling yourself. The fear of man is a snare. God, Satan sets it on people's ways to make them not to make any move. They're afraid of men. So people are not doing ministry because they're afraid of persecution. You see the fear of man? They're afraid of being insulted. Fear of man. They're afraid of being ridiculed. The fear of men. Give me that translation. Like Message or Amplified Classic, any of them. He said, the fear of human opinion disables. So when we talk about fear, some people are afraid of human opinion. What will people say? How will they perceive me? Will they not say I'm doing too much? Do you know what it took for me to start as a pastor in this same state where I grew up? Nobody to take. People will say, what am I trying to claim? Are you trying to say that your former church is a useless church? Are you trying to say that you know too much? Are you trying to say that all those things? Because the fear of man is a snare.
And that's why I'm going to tell you, don't move until God has said you should move. And if God has said you should move, make sure you move. Make sure you move. Are you following me? Fear of man is a snare. What would they say? How would they perceive me? Some people are still in relationship they should have moved on from, because they are afraid of what the other person will say and what people will say. Some people are still stuck with jobs and companies that they should have been done with 5 years ago. And if I'm talking to you, take this as your warning. Jobs and offices you should have been done with 5 years ago, but they are there. Because what will people say? How would they perceive me? If I now go, they will answer, I left the company. The company that I started with, that helped build me up, that believed me when I knew I had nothing. I cannot leave that company now. Are you really serious? But that company is not increasing your pay. Their sales are going up. Your salary is not going up. Now, I'm not saying you should be greedy. I'm only saying if you're upgrading your life, right, there is nothing wrong with changing. There's another issue I wanted to talk about, fear of change. People are just afraid of what people will say. How will they perceive me? The fear of man is a snare. Give me Amplified Classic. It's a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. Now, how do you deal with that fear? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't be afraid of man. One of the greatest things I cannot do that I've been delivered from is to be afraid of what people will say. In fact, give me Passion Translation. Passion Translation says, fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. Fear and intimidation. So many of us have not made progress because we have been intimidated by our fears. How people will see you. How they will talk about you. How they will talk to you. That's why you're still at a spot. You want to waste your life? Look at that. Fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place. So why are you still held back by all these fears? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid of man. No. The worst thing you can do is to be afraid of man. I don't know why people... Let me tell you. I don't know. You shouldn't be afraid of any man. The only kind of fear you can have for man and for certain men is reverential fear. That's all. That's honor. I get the point. Like when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, reverential fear. I have reverential fear for my pastor. I fear my pastor. And legitimately so. I fear him. Because that fear, that particular fear is a protection. Right? It's a protection from, it's actually an accountability structure. Because you're afraid, if dad hears this thing now, what will he say? That one day. Right? But apart from that, being afraid that if you start this, they will laugh at you. Man of you, you know the reason you're not preaching today? It's because once you start carrying your Bible to go and preach, your friends that knew you before will start laughing at you. Can you imagine that? Your friends that knew you before. Let me tell you, one of the major ways to deal with the fear of man is to always go against what your fear is telling you. Yes. That day you feel like if I preach, they will laugh at me. Start preaching that time. Start preaching that time. And what I've observed is, most times your fears will not happen. Most times you might start preaching and those people will just be shocked and they'll be like, wow, we just want to listen to you. You will be so shocked. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What crippled the whole Israel was the fear of one man called Goliath. Goliath. He will come and talk. The whole Israel will go into hiding. Goliath. Until David came up. So when Solomon was saying the fear of man is a snare, he got learned from David. Shut down the whole Israel. They were afraid of this one man. What troubled them as they wanted to enter Canaan? They went into the land of Canaan and saw those men as giants. They became scared. The fear of man. One of us has not broken through to the next level because we're just afraid of what men will do, what men will say, how men will perceive us, especially in our generation where social media is on the rise and there's a lot of dragging and criticism, so you don't want to be criticized. Let me even tell you, if you do not want to be criticized, you've opted for being small. For being small. You've chosen to be small. If you're going to be big, you'll be criticized. If you are on top, you'll be the talk of the town. And it's not always for good. I get what I'm saying? And so all this fear of what would they say about me should die already. Develop a thick skin for what people will say. You know me now. This skin, if I didn't have that kind of thick skin, by now I should have stopped making this now. There is a young man who is named Onukube. That is life. Let mouth be talking. That's why it was created. Let me say this to you. When people talk against you, the first thing you do is to look into yourself. What they are saying about me, is it true? If it is true, have I repented from it? Have I readjusted my life? Once I readjust my life and sort myself out with God and with the people that matter around me, you are just making noise. I feel what I'm saying. Yeah. And if I ask myself, is it true? And it's not true. I don't care. So whether it's true or not, I don't care about what they're saying. I'll just check myself. Once I'm fine, once I've checked myself, don't you do adjustments? I make adjustments. You're just talking for yourself. But you know, words are quite powerful. And now some of you need to, and I want to say this by the Holy Ghost, some of you, even though I'm saying you should develop a top skin, some of you need to deliberately detach yourself from people who talk you down all the time. Because it can be a limiting thing. Do you know that in football? Okay, football now. Oh, wow. I don't know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why are you laughing? Huh? Mind you, I didn't say anything. I don't think Man U fans should be bantered. They should be cared for. It's been a lot this season, man. They should be cared for. So love them. Even the Bible teaches that. Don't laugh at the less privileged. It's not a good thing. Do you understand? Remember the less privileged in your prayers instead of laughing at them. That's how to relate. So, but that's not what I wanted to say, actually. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I was trying to say something. In football, you know, there was this particular coach, I was reading his document, his statement. He said, whenever his players have a very important match, for a few days for the matches, he makes sure they don't use your social media. In fact, the current Barcelona coach, even Xavi himself, he will make sure you don't use social media. Because, of course, for social media, people are talking many, many things, you know. Those things can actually get into people's hearts and they begin to underperform. Are you aware of this? That's why you must guard your heart from what people say. Do you understand? Imagine they're playing and you want to play a match and they say, that one cannot play now. He can't even score a goal. You might get into the match trying to prove that you can play, that you must score a goal today. And you begin to waste the balls. Or the other effect it can have on you is they say, I cannot play. Let me just be passive so I cannot waste the ball. Now, the point is, if you let what people say get into you, you'll be limited in life. Always ask. Now, let me tell you something that's going to help you. Determine and decide early people whose words will carry weight in your life. Decide it very early. Do you want to say now? I'm not saying you should not hear what anybody says, but decide very early whose people's words will matter in my life. Now, I have a bias. Maybe because I'm a believer for something, my pastor's words matters in my life. So my pastor speaks to me. I don't count his words as criticism. No.
I get the point.
I take it as correction. There are people that matter. When your parents speak to you, decide whose words we count. Your spouse.
I get the point.
When you mark those people that are words count in your life, every other person, they should just be talking. Their words cannot stop you. I said again, decide early people whose words will carry weight in your life. Decide it early. If not, people's words will limit you. And that's why I made this decision very early. Very early. When I wrote my first book and gave it to someone to proofread it and work on it, the person read it and said, "Ah, this is a very powerful book, but you are too young to be publishing this kind of book. What do you know? What have you achieved?" I said, "Thank you." I took the book. I took it to another person. And thank God for that one. That man is great man. Great man of God. He read it. He said, "You wrote this?" You know, his perspective. The other one felt, "You are too young to be writing this kind of heavy things." Another one felt, "Ah, as young as you are, you wrote this. We must publish this." And that was it. I'm not saying you don't care what people say, but mind people that you should care what they say. Choose them early. Choose them early. It's not everybody's words that count. I'm just telling the truth. Are you following me? Everybody's words. If you are going to be for the top, you must deal with this thing I'm telling you. If you are going to get there, you must deal with it. Ministry, career, anything. You must deal with it. So that you don't come out on Facebook Live and you are crying. You say, "What are you doing to me?" Because they said what? This world that when you add weight, they will come for you. You slim down, they come for you. You cut your hair, they come for you. You grow your hair. So you don't want to be controlled by those things. You're not ready for the top. Always realize that once God increases you become a top person, you become people that make the news. People that make the news don't read the news. They don't care about the news. They make the news. Do you know what I'm saying? Now I'm a newsmaker. So I don't go for the news. Say amen. And God will raise you. And God is raising all of us. So when they're talking about you, you are making more news for them to talk about. And if you become too wise as a person, you just monetize it. That's what I'm saying. Just monetize it. You know how to monetize it. Yeah. Let them be talking about it on your page. More engagement, more traffic. Just, sometimes you must have a tough skin. Because to start with, it's God's opinion of me that counts. I just told you, choose people with the opinion. You see God's opinion of me. That one, you can't shift it. The Bible's opinion of me, I pay attention to it. People that matter to me, the opinion of me, I know. Right? If my wife says, "Babe, you are doing that," I'm going to take it very seriously. I'm not going to say, "You are criticizing me." As you are criticizing me, I'm moving forward. Mm-mm. You are going to shut down the voice of reasoning around you. You can't do that. I get what I'm saying now. Your husband says, "You have to watch." You don't begin to say, "It's because you are jealous of me. You are jealous of me." Mm-mm. That's not it. So I don't take it to an extreme. Your pastor says, "This you are doing. You have to watch it though. You are becoming too proud." He says, "It's because of my anointing. Because I'm raising the dead. That's why he's jealous." No. That's how to see it. But I've seen these things, so I'm telling you. I remember a man of God sharing story of how they went for evangelism and they raised it. They worked miracles, opened blind eyes. And when they came back, they finished telling their pastor. The pastor said, "Oh, glory to God." That reminds me. Thank God you guys are here. I will need people to wash the toilet before people came. So go wash the toilet. They looked at him and said, "As another as we are." That's not the time to start saying he's jealous of us. Because we raised the dead, I have not raised the dead. He wants us to go and wash toilet to limit our anointing. Mm-mm. So you must be able to choose people whose words matter in your life. So that those people that are worse don't matter. They should just be talking. You're just moving on. Don't even stop to reply. Do you know what I said? Imagine you are on a 400 meter relay race. Or not relay, or just 400 meter race. Which one is relay? It's relay race now. Which one is relay? That is past bottom. This one is not relay now. 400 meter. You are running, and people are around you shouting, "He cannot run, no. Oh, see his leg. That boy is using bleaching cream. See his leg. He's what?" Now imagine you stop to begin to say, "Is your father that is using bleaching cream?" You know, what blood bleaching cream? Actually, people can criticize you for nothing. So, oh, Oko Fanta, Iru Coke. And they're just talking. You don't have to stop to begin to say, "It's a lie. It's because the soap I bought, I did not know it was bleaching. I bought whitening soap." Just keep running. Glory to God. When you get to where you are going to, they will come and celebrate with you. That's how it works. The fear of man is a snare. Shut your ear. Let them not have that effect on you. Let me say this to you. People who are talking against you are hoping that what they're saying will enter you. That's the pit. People persecuting you hope that one day you will stop. So until you stop, it has not worked. We are moving forward. No fear. No fear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People are afraid of being misunderstood. There are visions and ideas that God will give you that people will misunderstand. But it's okay. It's okay. In closing, let me say to you, fight fear. And I'm going to show you very just key, four keys that will help you. Just shortly, let me just close. Sunday is going to be very powerful in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The first thing to deal with fear and totally, every time it rises, I always like to tell people, fight fear by knowledge. What do you know? I've said some of them already. Know who you are. Know, you know, by the time you know who you are, or you know what God has promised you, it should be enough. So when the devil is trying to tell you, you will fail. Because you know what God has promised. That's why again I say you have to read your Bible a lot. I believe that when you load yourself with God's word, there will be no room for fear. Because when that fear is coming against you, the things that God has said concerning you will be standing up against them. Imagine fear of man. Somebody is telling you, "You know this place you are doing, you're going to fail." But that morning, before the person said that thing, you just read somewhere in the Bible where the Bible said that greater is he that is in you. That knowledge is going to stand against whatever thing the devil is throwing at you. Why am I not afraid? There are certain things I know. For instance, I was talking about taking risks. I know that God will never let me fail. I know. And I know that if for any chance the devil scatters what I'm doing, that if I'm about to start again, it's getting worse. Do you understand? It will be more terrible for him. That is something I know. I know the goodness of God, for instance. That God is good. I know the power of God. I know the almightiness of God. That His power will always come through for me. That whatever issue I will encounter on the way, that He will be there for me. You know one of the most beautiful things about following God? God is the only man who will send you on an errand and join you on the errand. We are going for Him and He's living in us. And so He's going with us. So I know these things. So if God said I should jump, I'm asking Him, how high should I jump, sir? Because I know a few things. The reason you are afraid and the devil can always throw fears into your heart is because you are not established on certain things. The character of God. Who God is. His promises. And it's not what you know once, something you keep knowing. Read your Bible. Again, read your Bible. Again, read your Bible. Again, learn God's word. Learn God's word. Lengos. You know, Jesus Prince used to tell us a story. Tell a story when he had his first daughter, Jessica. So when he had that daughter, he so much loved that girl. So much. He was even afraid. He was almost turning to the devil's stomach because of how much he loved the girl. He said he could step out and come back. Once the wife say, once the girl is any scratch on the child, he can quarrel with the wife. Where were you now when this scratch happened? You know, he could be sleeping and wake up to go and check. Is she doing? You know, it kept happening until one day, Lord told him. He said, "Do you think you love this girl more than I do? And do you think you can really protect this girl?" That said, it is that when you know, you can take the back seat and relax. Are you following me, friends? I can take back seat and relax. Because sometimes that overprotective thing that parents do is a product of fear. Are you aware? My children will not go far to school. They will school inside our room. They will not even live in the hostel during their university days. They will live inside my room. What you don't realize is that bad influence these days does not need any school. They're on TikTok. They're on Facebook. They're on. See, they will never have phone. They will use yours. Trust in the Lord. There are just a few things you need to know. If you know them, they will keep you calm in the midst of the storm. Do you know why Jonah was sleeping when the ship was about to... Jonah was running away from God. Yet, there was turbulence in the ship. Yet, he was sleeping. If you read the book of Jonah, you will see why. He told them plainly. He said, "I know." By the time he prophesied in Nineveh, and Nineveh wasn't destroyed, he told God, "I know you are too merciful." He knew God would not do him anything. He knew. He said, "I know you are too merciful." He said, "That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. Because you are too kind." That knowledge made, by the time was shared, it was just like, why do you think Jonah said, "How can a human being say, throw me inside the water?" He knew he would come out. He knew God too much. Just that he turned it negatively. That's a bad way to know God. You know, it's just like he knew God to a point he became licentious. Are you what I'm talking about? But he knew God. Look at verse 2 of John chapter 4. "I prayed thee, O Lord." Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? "Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou wert a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." And he said, "I know you are too good." To start with, I know that even if I come and prophesy against anybody, you will not destroy them. So this journey is useless. Number 2, I know that even if I get into this ship, that you will come through for me. So he told them, "Throw me." You know, I was thinking about it. "Throw me into the water." Is that the wisest thing to say? It's not, "Let's find the one rich land." He said, "Oh, throw me. Throw me." They were trying to throw. He said, "Throw me." You think he wanted to die? He knew he would not die. "Throw me in." And Jonah entered. The fish swallowed him. He didn't pray until the third day. I'm just going to show you Jonah. He stayed there. Without this God self. There are a few things you know. How can a man say, "Throw me into the water"? Because I know nothing is going to happen. Throw me. They were trying to say, he said, "Save your life and just throw me inside this water. Because if anything happens to this ship, it's you people that will die. My God will save me. So throw me inside." There are certain things that when you know, fear disappears. That's why, again, reading your Bible, it's not something that you do not need, but we just tell you to do because we just want to make you a serious Christian. It will make you a better person. Knowledge will keep you strong. There are certain things that you know. When everything crashes down and people are crying and they're at the end of their life, you are confident and you are waking up. They say, "What's your confidence?" "I know my Redeemer liveth." You know that? You know. So one of the major ways to deal with this, your only right is to know. Knowledge. So don't just use it like Jonah. Right? Know the kindness of God, but don't use it like Jonah. Some people know the kindness of God too much and then it makes them to begin to sin and misbehave. That's a very stupid way.
That's what Jonah was doing. He knew that God was too kind. So he was just, don't do it like that. But know the kindness of God. So that when there is trouble, somehow you know you're going to come out of it. You may not know how, but you'll come out of it. People are crying all over the place. You are just so calm because you know you are going to win. That's one of the ways to deal with fear. Know the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Eat it. Daily. I'm not saying know it and just relax. Keep knowing it. Keep knowing it. Keep knowing it. Why will a young lady be strong enough to leave an abusive relationship? Even though her friends are telling her, that guy has money. He's the one paying your school fees. He's the one building a house for your mother in the village. He's the one taking care of your younger siblings. If you leave him now, who else will you find that will marry you? There's something she will know. She'll walk out of that relationship. Because she knows God. Is someone following me this evening? She knows God. She knows that God will come through. She knows she will finish her school. She knows she will eat. She knows her mother will be fine. She knows that her siblings will be fine. Because I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed beg for bread. I know this and I'm telling you. Man, you're getting near. I'm not begging for bread. I know it. I know it. I know it. Because of this, I know. I live life differently. Fear has no place in my heart. It will try to cripple in. It will try to creep in rather. But because I know what I know, the word of God will rise against it. Oh yes. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I will not be forsaken. This business will do well. This ministry will do well. This church will blossom. My life will get better and better. No room for fear. Get into the word and know the word. Know the word. Know the word. I kept saying to you guys, you can do it right and do it big. Imagine you know that. When your friends are offering you compromise, say, let's show you the way. Because God has spoken, you know it. That people did it right and they did it well. They did it well. If you know it, all those fears will die. All this fear of marriage. What if you get married tomorrow and the man is wicked to you and the man is dealing with you and you have a very troubled home? There are things that you will know. To start with, have you not read your Bible? That your children shall be taught of the Lord. My kids will be taught of the Lord. I've read it in the Bible. I've read it in the Bible. So a happy home is possible. A victorious home is possible. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Do you know what that word peace is? That's the word shalom. Great shall be the prosperity, the peace, the shalom of thy children. So when the devil puts that fear in your heart, all the children are giving birth to. What if they get to 18 and they become cultists? What if they get to 17 and they start doing hookup? It's not my children. My children shall be taught of the Lord. When you know those things, have your seats for a moment. I want to close like in 10 minutes. Even the translation of this. NLT of this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will teach your children and they will have great peace. Give me Amplified Classic. Ooh. And all your spiritual children. And I told you, I've used this one to pray. This one verse I've used to pray for this ministry very well. Because I know that contextually, what he's talking about is actually spiritual children of Isaiah. I get the point. But you can pray it over your biological children. He said, all your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. There are a few things I know. And that's why sometimes when people come into this church and I see their lives very low, when I talk with them, I always encourage them. That encouragement is not because I just wanted to feel good. I know what I know. That God will change your story. You may not, I just know it. I've seen it happen a lot. And God has promised me. So because I know it, even if you come and cry, say, Daddy, after you spoke to me yesterday in the office, then I went home, they pushed me from my house, I will still tell you, everything will be fine. It's what I know. Get to the word. do it for yourself. So that knowledge. So first thing is knowledge. First thing is knowledge. For instance, knowledge of the love of God. I've mentioned that before. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, I think verse 18, it said, perfect love casts out fear. When you have the knowledge of the perfect, say there is no fear, because perfect love casts out fear. We have the knowledge of that perfect love of God. As you grow your knowledge of the love of God, for instance, fear will drop. Because if you know how much God loves you, you will know He cannot watch you suffer certain things. So, that's fear. So, fight it by knowledge. Fight it with words. Right? And what I mean by this, apart from having good times when you speak, for instance, fears are rising in your heart, and you are shouting, in the name of Jesus, I have victory. That is that part. Well, let me teach you something else. Never speak fear. One of the major ways you enable fear in your life is that you speak your fear. How many of you have listened to the raging warfare? Hear what I'm going to say. Satan doesn't know your thoughts. Do you remember that I said in the message? Satan doesn't read anybody's thoughts. Satan can only know your thoughts by what you say. That's why, believer in Christ, feel fear, but never speak fear. Speak the opposite of what you feel. If I'm afraid that, what if everything just scatters? How I fight that thing is not by saying, you know, I've been afraid that everything. I don't say that. I just say everything's going to be fine. I'm going to be victorious. Satan, what happened to Job? Every time he was offering sacrifices, he will always say, who knows if my children have disobeyed the Lord? So the devil could decipher his fear by his words. That's what I'm going to tell you. Fight. Let me tell you, the word for boldness, I think that's Ephesians 3 verse 12. The word for boldness in the New Testament. Do you remember that word? Huh? In whom we have boldness and access with the confidence by the faith of Him. That word boldness is the Greek word parousia. Do you remember this word? Parousia. It means freedom of speech. To speak freely. So one of the major expressions of boldness is freedom of speech. One of the major expressions of fear is limited speech. People who are afraid don't say too much. They don't speak positively too much. Let me not be saying that I'm going to be rich. What if tomorrow I now become poor and they just laugh at me? That's it. So once you let your mouth speak fear, you've already aided that fear. So fight fear with your words. There's no fear here. So next time you begin to feel that fear of failure, what if it isn't just scatters? Get up and begin to say to yourself, I'm a success. I'm a success. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, He said, you shall be above only. Above only. You shall be the head and not the tail. He's talking about me. I shall be the first one that is in the Bible. So I hold on to that. And I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it. What I'm doing, not only am I casting that fear from my heart, I'm not giving the devil something to work with. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't speak your fears. Don't speak your fears. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. I'm reading the Bible. The head. Now, these are the things you hold on to. So when the devil tells you, what if you just fail in your exam? Remember this verse. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Above only. Above only. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fight fear by speaking. Put God's word on your lips and fight. Never speak fear. Stop voicing your fear. Stop voicing your fear. Remember, I told you, how do you take thoughts? By speaking. Take no thoughts for yourself. Saying, what shall we eat? You take thoughts by saying. If you do not say what you think, you've not taken the thought. Are you following me, friends? If you begin to say what you think, you've taken the thought. So the devil can send fear. Remember, no believer has fear. So every fear you feel is something the devil sends. Now it's now you that will take it or send it back. Are you following me?
The devil is always, you know, there are young girls I've ministered to who are in their 20s, sometimes in their teens. They have never thought of getting married, but they're already scared of not being barren when they are married. The devil is projecting something into their future. And they begin to say, what if I just marry? I say, don't say what the devil is doing. Do you remember that? Say what God is doing. Don't speak your fears. Don't speak your fears. Don't speak your fears. Don't even discuss your fears with people. Except you are talking to somebody that is going to pray. Because for real, why are you discussing your fears? What's the purpose of it? See, I'm just so afraid. All these companies that people have, they say, just be real. Pour your heart. Pour your heart. What are they doing with your heart that you are pouring? They just encourage you. You are saying too much. You are saying too much. You are saying too much. I'm just afraid that I will have an extra year. I'm just afraid that I will just fail. I'm just afraid that you are saying those things. Stop saying what the devil is doing. Stop saying what he even wants to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fight your fears again in prayers. I won't say much about this. I'm sorry, I'll come to it. Fight it in prayers. One of the major ways to deal with fear is to pray. One of the major ways to experience and to enjoy supernatural audacity is to pray. In Acts 4, that's why I said, if you're going to share your fears with anybody, make sure, thank you, Lord Jesus, make sure that those, the discussion is actually for the purpose of prayer. In Acts chapter 4, let me give you a background. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John had just healed a crippled man. And they had arrested them and they warned them not to preach. In chapter 4, the Bible said they were beaten. They beat them and warned them not to preach and sent them away. Now, look at this. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all. Not in the name of Jesus. What did they answer in verse 19? But Peter and John answered and said unto them. So, do you think Peter and John were afraid when they were telling them not to preach? Think. Do you think they were afraid? They were. Because by the time we get there, we're going to get there now. They met their own company and began to complain to them. They were actually afraid. But when they were standing before those guys, they didn't speak fearfully. Verse 19, they told them very plainly. He said, is it right for us to speak? For us to hearken to you or to hearken to God. Imagine that kind of confidence. So you would have thought that they were just fearless. Maybe they were not totally fearless. But they've learned that you don't voice your fear. That's what they're saying. Please let me preach small now. Look, we will promise you. Let's negotiate. We will preach in the morning. We will not preach at night. Or we will only preach in the night. They told them to their face. See verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Verse 22. Watch this. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shewed. Verse 23. And being let go, they returned to their own company and reported. So there was actually fear in their hearts. But they knew where to talk about it. I get what I'm talking about. It's not what is hindering and all the sheep is saying, sorry now, we will not preach again. They never showed any sign of fear. Go and check all this book of Acts. Not once did the apostles show any fear. Not once. But they went to their own company and reported to them. Say, see what this guy said to us. And what did they do? They began to pray. They prayed so much that in verse 29 quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. So what did they pray for? What were they praying for? Boldness. There was fear. I feel what I'm talking about. So it's not as though they were not afraid, but they were, when they were standing before those guys, You don't stand before your challenge and you are speaking fearfully. Never speak fear. What you rather do with fear is that you cast it out in prayer. Now, don't speak fear, but like I've taught you before, don't do things, don't say just I'll do it afraid. I know it's a very sweet thing to say, but instead of doing it afraid, cast out the fear. They pray for boldness. 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 That fear rises in your heart. Pray it away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray it away. What happened in verse 30? And when they had prayed, verse 30 quickly. Okay, of course, they told Jesus, they told God to stretch forth his hand and heal. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they were, where the place where was shaking, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So boldness is generated in prayer. That's what I normally tell people. When once you are very afraid, go and pray. Most times, unnecessary fear, apart from the fact that it can be a work of the devil and all of that, is also a manifestation of a weak spirit. Most times, you are just afraid of everything. It means your spirit is weak. And one way to build a very strong spirit is in the place of prayer. I follow me this evening. Go and pray. Pray. Prayer will deal with that fear. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they spake with boldness. With boldness. That's why boldness, when I'm talking about don't be afraid, boldness is not about bold face. I already told you that fear is a spirit. So the boldness that will counter fear must be spiritual boldness and not boldness of your mind. It's not about acting bold. Pray. That is audacity that God gives. There's boldness that comes from Him. There's confidence that He offers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the next time you are threatened from and you want they want to stop from doing what you are doing, just go and pray. Pray. Remember, I said, don't speak about it, just pray. If you're ever going to discuss it with anybody, let it be somebody that will pray with you. Say, do you know, I've just been very much afraid for some time. Let's get to prayer. We pray until we pray that devil away. Because you know this fear is a spirit. So what is actually causing the fear? Don't miss what I'm going to say now. It's not actually just what the people are saying. There is a spirit. Bible calls it the spirit of fear. So that spirit of fear is just using what those people are saying to afflict you. So the real problem is not what people are saying. It is the spirit that is making it happen. Are you what I'm talking about? Let me give an example. I've thought of it before. When I teach you on depression, what causes people to be depressed is not whatever situation they are into. That's not it. Depression is a spirit. It's a foul devil. Fight it. You see people that say, I'm depressed because my mother is late. Others will say, I'm depressed because my head is big. Now, you know the problem? When their head becomes small, tomorrow they will be depressed because they are broke. When they stop being broke, after that they will be depressed because, you know what, every small thing that happens around them, they get depressed. It is not because of the thing happening. People write me, oh, I'll show my wife these things. I know people that have written me from outside this country. I mean, in those countries that you want to go to, you know those countries? What are they? Those places, exactly those places you want to go to. And these people are doing big jobs, and I'm not missing words, big jobs paid in thousands of dollars. And they still write me. One wrote me on my bed and I was so excited to see that. He might be pulling the service now. He wrote me and he said, thank you, sir, for your teachings. Your teachings, following them online, have broken me out of depression. Now, this is someone who is doing very well financially. I get the point. So how do you know he's doing financially? I know the job he's doing. And he sends me a tangible seed. Say amen. I'm just telling you. So I knew he was doing well. So the natural thing would have been, what will be making this? I feel I'm talking about. Because depression is a spirit. It's not about what is happening. Because that thing that has happened to you has happened to 15,000 people and they never got depressed. That's how fear operates. So you're not actually afraid because of what people are saying. You are afraid because your spirit is weak, and the devil attacks weakness. He doesn't attack strength.
He's a coward. He attacks weakness. So because you are weak, he comes to those fears. So he said, the reason I'm afraid is because I'm trying to look at the indices and the facts and the figures. If I start this business, you know, I've checked it. That's not why you're afraid. There's a foul devil. Face it in prayer. Have you not observed that every time you are done praying, you become more assured about that you want to do? Have you not observed it? It tells you that something spiritual is happening to you. I've told you guys, when I wanted to start this ministry, this is one of the major ways I knew. God has spoken to me, but I was afraid. I was afraid. What will people say? How would they perceive me? I was doing something out of the ordinary. God was asking me to start a ministry, start a church. Before that, I was already leading Champions League Foundation. So literally, I asked the Lord, should I turn CYF into my church? Because, okay, I tell him, very easy. A few of you were already part of CYF as at then, so you would have joined me. So it would have just been to discuss with the leaders, and I will announce CYF is now to be called Champions Church. It would have been the easier thing to do. The Lord said no. And I said, okay, Lord, fine. I will go and stand inside a suit. But I was just standing over as JCB president. I had serious influence inside that school. He said, as I said, serious. It was that serious. It's more serious than you even know. By the time I was standing over JCB president, I could talk and 1,000 students would gather for a meeting. I knew it. So the easiest would have been to just go and rent the hall and start. The Lord said no. He said, they're going to start outside the school and you're not going to make one handbill or one banner for a few months until I tell you to. He said, just start telling people. That was the most scary thing God has ever asked me to do at the time. So I was very afraid. I was very scared. But I noticed something. I was very scared and I thought that I was unsure. But I noticed something. Every time I give myself to like 2, 3, 4 hours prayer and come out, I'm not only so sure, I come up with so much ideas on how to do it. But if I just stay away from that prayer, the whole fears are back. Is one following me this evening? See, it was very easy for me to see. Do not let fear. Fight it in prayer. And the last thing I'm going to say to you before we go, fight your fears by taking the required action. When you are done praying, take that. Let me tell you, sometimes all you need to do is to move. Go, you know, I was chatting this on Sunday. Take the next step. Take the next step. Don't let fear cripple you. Fear is a crippling demon. It's a crippling spirit. Just comes there and tries to tell you this. If you take that step, you've conquered the fear. Conquered the fear. There is no room for fear again. You have to fight it. So if I become afraid of something, the first thing I'm going to just do is I'm going to pray. How did David pray? Should I pursue? Yes. Should I overtake? Will I overtake? Yes. Once I'm sure the Lord is saying that, I'm going to take the action. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to deal with that fear in the prayers and deal with it by taking the required action. And I want to say to many of you, 95% of your fears will not happen. Now, don't ask me how I came about that particular statistics. Just look at your life carefully. Many things you've been afraid of in the past did not happen. What if I do this and this happen? Just think very well. So you know that this one you're afraid of now will not happen. It won't happen. Omnipotent one. Sing it again.
I worship you for your majesty is forever.
You must learn to take your step.
All those things. You know what the word omnipotent means? God is all powerful. Can do all things. Can do all things. Lift your voice. Whatever fear Satan has thrown at you, pray now. Now listen to what you pray. Don't pray, but I rebuke the devil of fear. Don't do that. Just pray over the matter. And I've told you, don't always pray in the negative. Don't pray in the light of what the devil is doing. What the apostles just prayed for, Father, grant that with boldness we will preach. So that with fears of failure, just pray in the name of Jesus. I receive and I enjoy the victory that comes from you. Lift your voice. You have 5 minutes. You're going to pray from your heart. Then I'll pray for you. Lift your voice and pray. Don't stop. I'm not going to interrupt you. Just pray. That crippling voice of fear. Shut it down. Pray. I wish you're praying. And if you're praying, take it very seriously. Pray, 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 pray. Come on, church. Pray like that. You have 4 more minutes. Take it and pray. That thing that has been limiting you, those fears that have been limiting you, they are out of your way now. Those crippling thoughts the devil has been sending your way, online, on ground, make sure you're praying. Some of you are really praying. Bring your focus. Keep your focus and pray. That voice that has been trying to stop you from getting to your next step is the devil. Pray, pray, pray. Come on. Shut down that voice of fear speaking in your head. Shut down that voice telling you that you are not going to make progress. Shut down that voice telling you things will go wrong. Shut down that voice telling you will not deliver safely. Shut down that voice of fear. Say what God is saying. 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 This is warfare. This is warfare. This is warfare. This is warfare.
That spirit that wants to cripple you, that wants to reduce you, that wants to waste you, that doesn't want you to get to the next end, is coming by fear. Those fearful thoughts, those suggestions that steer fear inside of you. Yes, 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 yes. You have 1 more minute. Please pray, pray, pray. Don't stop. Jesus' name we pray. Say with me, say, I have boldness. I am not timid. God has not given me the spirit of fear or timidity. You should say like you know it. God has not given me the spirit of fear or timidity. God has given me a sound mind. I have a sound mind, full of boldness and confidence. I face life with supernatural boldness. I'm not afraid. I do not have fears of any sort. I face life with supernatural boldness. I face men with so much confidence. I attack situations with audacity. I'm righteous. Therefore, I am as bold as lion. Say, I am righteous. Therefore, I am as bold as lion. I'm courageous. I am courageous. I boldly attempt new things. I boldly attempt new things. I dare what I've never done before. Even places I have failed in the past, I attempt again with much more boldness now. Say it again. Say, even places I failed in the past, I attempt again with much more boldness now. I have better results now because I'm bolder now. God has not given me the spirit of fear. Therefore, I don't have fears. I walk in supernatural boldness. Say it again, I walk in supernatural boldness. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Boldness is here. Fears are gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fears are gone. I say, fears are gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyone here laboring under any satanic manipulation that has produced fears, undefined fears in your heart, I send that devil packing now. Get out of these bodies now. In the name of Jesus, torment this once no more. You tormenting devil of fear. You tormenting devil of fear. The Bible tells us that fear is a torment.
That's 1 John 4 verse 18. Fear is a torment. And therefore, I rise against you, foul devil, tormenting these ones with fears. Torment them no more now. I give you back your mind. Those minds that have been overtaken by fear, I give you back your mind. In the name of Jesus, no more fears. No more fears. From now, you begin to walk in much more audacity, in much more confidence, in much more assurance of victory, in much more assurance of victory. In the name of Jesus, you are not going to fail. I say you are not going to fail. You are not going to fail. You are not going to fail. You are not remaining at this level. It is from here to the next level. And other levels. And other levels. Your increase has come now. In the name of Jesus. Remember I told you, one definition of increase is to move forward, breaking down everything that is on your way. That will be your story from now. Fear is cast down now in the name of Jesus. You will know the freedom we have in Christ. You will know that boldness that Jesus gives. No room for fear. Say no room for fear. You know I'm making you talk because one sign of a confident man is that he talks. Pareja is freedom of speech. Say no room for fear. Say I'm bold. I'm bold. Say I'm sure that things will get better. I'm sure that this will work. What is working in your life? Take your time because you're going to see it. What are the things working in your life? What are the things working? Because we all say this will work. What is in that your this? Do you remember now? Have you come up with it now? Your ministry will work. Your studies will work. Your business will work. Your career will work. Your life will fall in place. And I'm saying this will work. So announce it now. What is working in your life? You know, I like some of you saying everything is working, but don't say it like that. Be specific. What is working in your life? No. Listen. Learn not to speak under your breath. It's a sign of fear. What is... Now, don't be afraid of saying it so your neighbor will hear it and laugh at you. What is working in your life? Your relationship is working. Your ministry is working. Your career is working. Your ministry is working. Your finances are working. Everything is falling in place. The longer I live, the brighter I shine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some people have been visiting the hospitals. You have to start saying, my health is working. Start saying, my health is working. Start saying it. Let us say, if your eyes are not working, say, my eyes are working. If your kidney is not working, say, my kidney is working. If they say your bone is broken, say, my bones are working. Speak boldly. That fear that the devil has put in your heart, what if tomorrow they say your kidney is bad? What if it now fails completely? Deal with that fear. Say what is working. What if you want to go blind totally? Your eyes are working. They are seeing clearly. Perfectly. Reading perfectly. Your ears are working. You can hear very clearly. That constant disturbing sound is disappearing now from your ear. That sound has been there. It's disappearing now. You keep hearing it. It's disturbing, but it's going right now. Your health is working. That growth is disappearing. No, it's not going to become cancerous. It will disappear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's getting better and better. No room for fear. After now, you are getting to your next level. Because that thing that has been limiting you has been removed from the way now. Watch out for this church from now. Many people you know will begin to attempt many things. Because the major thing has been that fear. God has said you will do this. You say, what if I just start? What if things don't work? What if things don't work? What if things don't work?
Lord, what if I start planning to travel abroad now and everything just scatter? What if I don't get a scholarship? What if they don't even listen to me? What if I get there and join bad gang? That one is even the funniest one. There are bad gangs everywhere. Do you see now? Deal with the fear. All you need is, Father, should I pursue? Will I overtake? Once he says yes, just pursue. And you will come back with a testimony. Were you blessed today? Can we give a loud shout of joy this evening? Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! It's getting better and better.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.